where God spoke to him in that still small voice, and he gave Elijah some instructions to anoint some kings, and he gave him instruction to go down and find Elisha and anoint him a prophet in his place. And as we get to the text we find Elisha. He had got up just like any other day. He was going about his business like any other day. He hooked up with all the other fellows as they hooked up their yokes of oxen. He hooked up that 12th yoke, got behind the plow, stared at the backs of the oxen, and headed down his row plowing that day. And little did he know that the prophet was going to step right in the very row of his field, in the very row of his life, and lay the mantle on him. And from that day forward, things would never be the same in the life of Elisha. And as I look at that tonight, you know, there's a definite call of God that was on the life of Elisha. Now, I believe that there's a lot of people say a lot of different things about the call of God, but I'm going to tell you who I believe God calls. I believe that God calls men to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't take any word of that lightly as I say it. Sometimes He manifests that in different ways. Sometimes He calls men to the mission field. Sometimes He calls them into evangelism. But it's always centered around the preaching of the Word of God. God calls men. Now some people say, well, God called me to sing, or God called me to do this. Don't believe that. I believe God enables you and give you ability to do that, and you ought to do that for the honor and the glory of God. Now I'm not going to split hairs with that part over that with you tonight, but I'm just giving you that. But when we look at Elisha, and I try to relate this to you tonight, you say, well, God's not calling me to be a prophet. No, He doesn't do that anymore. The prophets ended in John. What could God have for your life? And I'm not saying that I feel like there's a man tonight that God's calling to preach. I don't know that, but I know that God is calling everyone in this room to serve Him and an active part in the ministry down at the local church at the house of God. Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God has you here for a purpose. You've got a place here at Gateway Baptist Church where you're a blessing to somebody around you, you're a blessing to somebody out there that's watching you, and you're a blessing and a help to the man of God. Now as we get to Elisha, I think about him. You know, he was doing a good thing, but it was a happy day in Elisha's life when he let go of the plow and he left the plow and he followed God. And I'm just wondering, has there ever been a day in your life when you left the oxen, when you left the plow, say, you know, I just believe I'm going to follow the Lord in my life? And I want to look at some things in this passage of Scripture that took place in Elisha's life, and want to preach for a few minutes on it's time to give up the plow. Now, I know that's against New Testament terminology because we look at preaching as a type of plow, but he wasn't preaching in this passage of Scripture. He was plowing just in the field, and he could have spent the rest of his life following these oxen around. But he had never received what God had for him. You know, he was doing a good thing. He was working. But you know something? God had something bad for him. And all this is about the very best that God had for Elisha. You know, when I was at New Beginning Baptist Church in Lenoir, North Carolina, I was going about my business in the church. I was serving God in the church. Things were going good in the church and felt like God was using me in that church. There was no reason for me to leave that place. Things were just fine for me there. But you know something? God had something better for me. Now you're the life that you live. Are you receiving the best that God has for you? I've said a lot to try to say that, but God has something good for you. What was it in Elisha's life that made him want to give up the plow? First of all, I want you to see that Elisha was a chosen man. Elisha, I said a while ago, there was 12 other men that were plowing that day in the field with Elisha. I don't know if there's some kind of significance or if it's just the field was that big and he was out working. Elisha was a working man. And of all those men that God could have pinpointed individually to Elijah to step in and just take that mantle and throw on him, signifying the call of God, he didn't go to the first plowman, he didn't go to the second plowman, he didn't pick the third or the fifth or the eighth, he went directly to Elisha. Now I'm going to tell you something. As I preach this message tonight, I'm going to go back and forth between two names. Elijah didn't get called in this story. Elisha did. So if I say Elijah, I'm still talking about Elisha, okay? So we'll get that out of the way now, and I'll just move right on. But he picked him. What a blessing it is. any time that God comes by your way. Now, you know when you got saved, you just didn't get an idea in your head one day, so I believe I'll just go to the Lord and get saved. No. There was a supernatural work of God that took place in your heart that drew you to the Lord Jesus. What a blessing that is. God didn't have to save me. He came by my way. He saved you and He saved me and He put a desire in my heart to serve Him. And I've tried to serve Him, but I can't say that I've always felt the power and the touch and the presence of God. I can say there's times I felt it stronger and sometimes I felt it less. But you know, there's been particular times in my life. In my Bible reading today, I was reading in the book of 2 Chronicles, and some Christians do read 2 Chronicles, and I was reading 2 Chronicles, and I was reading about that revival under Hezekiah, and how that when he had gone in, they saw he wanted to have a revival, and he made a covenant with God. And I remembered it was those very verses that were being preached in 1993 that God pulled me out from behind the plow. Took me down memory lane. Did I just decide that? No, the Holy Ghost provoked something in my heart. And just as it was an opportunity for me to be saved when the Spirit of God dealt with me, it was an opportunity to go further with God when the Spirit moves in your life. Don't take it lightly when you're sitting in a church service. Don't take it lightly when you've had that time alone with God and when that unusual way the Spirit of God begins to move. That's just not for God to pass time. God has given you an opportunity to go a little further with Him and go a little deeper with Him, get a little further away from following those oxen around, but God has something for you. But Elisha was the chosen man. What was it about Elisha that made God want to choose him? First thing I see about Elisha in these passages of Scripture, in verse 19, Elijah finds him back there behind the plow. He was just doing what he knew to do. Hey, if you want God's best for you, you ain't going to find it in your recliner on Wednesday night. You're not going to find it in the bed during Sunday school on Sunday morning. You're not going to find it on the golf course on Sunday afternoon. You're not going to find it at the ball games and everywhere else when there's a revival meeting going on. You're going to find it doing what God wants you to do. Just do the best that you know that God wants you to do, and it's there in that place of obedience that it may be that day that the man of God will speak through him and he'll step in your row and give you an opportunity to go a little further with God. But he was working, but not only was working, but he was worshiping. I think about him worshiping. God said, where do you get that he was worshiping? In verse 18, as Elisha thought, he is the only saved person in the world. He thought he is the only person on all the land of Israel and Judah that was living for the Lord. But God reminded him in verse 18, yea, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. He said, Elijah, there's 7,000 that hadn't bowed. There's 7,000 that aren't worshiping Baal. And Elisha was one in that number. He was counted in the number of those that were following and honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you again, God's just not going to open up in heaven and bless just anybody. God's not going to put His touch. God's not going to put His approval on just anybody. He's going to put His approval on that one that's honoring Him and bringing glory to God in his life. Amen. Hey, let me just say this. Don't get satisfied behind that plow. Don't get satisfied there. Don't get satisfied just licking the dust all your life. There's something better for you that God has for you. He was chosen. He was chosen. Are you in a place where God could pick you out? But he wasn't just chosen, but he was called. He was called of God. Look, Elijah walked by him in the field, and he took that mantle. That mantle, from what I've read, tried to find out, it was just like an overcoat, that just top garment that he wore. He took it off, and he walked by Elijah in stride, and I can picture this and make it thinking it's kind of funny, but that moment, that mantle fell on him. I wonder what God provoked in his heart. He knew who Elijah was. He knew who he was. What is the symbolism of that mantle? That mantle represents the power and the presence of God. Sister Mary testified just a minute ago about the choir being a little small tonight. And I said a while ago, God's never based success on size. God has always chosen the small things, the foolish things, and the abased things. Boy, I couldn't stand before tonight if God was trying to find that was eloquent. That's obvious already. But God chooses those things that when the world looks at it, can't explain. See, we try to order it all out, and we try to plan it all out and dot all the I's and cross the T's, but we forget the most important thing. We forget the power and the presence of God. And hey, you want to see people affected by your life? You want to see this church affected by your life? You need to get out from behind the plow tonight, respond to the call of God, realize God's put something on you. He put that mantle on you that you can serve Him. Say, Brother Tim, I just can't. I can't do these things. Hey, when you've got the power of God and when you've got the presence of God, that gives you the enabling of God. God always enables you for what He calls you to do. God puts it in your heart that you need to get in the choir. Hey, He'll give you the enabling to do what you need to do up there. Hey, I think of Brother Clark as I look back there and see them as they went to Mexico. He'd never been a missionary before. He'd never been there and tried to build a church in Mexico. What happened? God put a mantle on him and enabled him when he went down there. Praise God. He quit looking at the backside of the oxen and went to see the glory of God in Mexico, and then he began to see God move and stir, and God built a work down there. Why? Because of the mantle, the presence, and the power, and the enabling of God. Amen. That's what it's all about. I can't. I can't. We can't. There's not a thing in the world Gateway Baptist Church can do for Bowling Springs, but if we'll just get out from behind the plow, get out of the dust cloud and respond to what God's wanting to do in our life and recognize He's put something on you. That's an opportunity and a privilege to do something for the Lord. But I see the symbol, but I see the source of His calling. In verse 20, as Elisha tried to respond to Elijah, Elijah closed, but he said this, and he left his oxen, ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then will I follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" You know what Elijah said to Elisha? "I didn't call you. I just did what God said to do. I just put my mantle on you." God is the one that does the calling. See, you know something? All Elijah was a messenger. And I'm just a messenger tonight. Tell you what, if you've been mama called, daddy called, preacher called, you've got nothing. All the man of God is a messenger. Can I say something about that messenger tonight? I've seen something that troubles me. Not just at Gateway, not just at New Beginning, not just at churches I've preached meetings in and people I've had a part in, but I've watched mamas and daddies respond to the minister of God as he, or that messenger of God as he gives that message. And then as they respond to it, they take it or leave it. And then their children have watched them take it or leave it. And they've come to this conclusion, well, I can take it or leave it too. They've forgotten the role that the man of God plays in their life. Do you realize Pastor Stewart is an authority in your life? He's delivering God's mail to you. No, you can't take or leave what comes from this pulpit. You don't need to try to sift out what might be his opinion or what might be his standard, what the Bible might say. You need to say, that's what God's man said to me. What if Elisha had looked at what Elijah did and said, well, that's just Elijah. He's just a man. That doesn't mean anything to me. Hey, Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit your souls to them, for they watch for your souls that they give account of you, that it may be for, I'm paraphrasing, for joy, because if it's bad, it's unprofitable to you. You want to give an account to how you respond to the man of God. And I'm glad that he responded to that source of his calling. It's God. You get in a church service and something begins, your heart begins to pound out of your chest, and God begins to finger around in your heart about something in your life. Don't blame Ray Stewart. Don't blame me. That's God speaking to you. But the source of that calling, but he was not only chosen and called, but he consecrated himself. He was consecrated. I think about Elijah. I mean, man, there he is in that field. Probably got everything he ever wanted. But he chose God over everything he had, over everything he was having, and everything that he would ever have. That's happened before in the Bible. I think about Abraham. What was the one thing in the world that Abraham wanted more than anything else? He wanted a son. I said, in the world, he wanted a son. Boy, God gave Abraham a son. I mean, Abraham tried taking his own hands. Ishmael's not the one. But God gave Abraham a miracle son, a promised son in his old age. And what was the one thing in the world when God got to deal with Abraham that he asked Abraham for? That son. He said, Abraham, what was he telling Abraham? He said, I want the most important thing in this world to you. I want your son. And I'm glad that God didn't make Abraham sacrifice Isaac that day. But boy, the victory that Abraham had coming off that mountain that day, because he didn't withhold anything from God that day. I think of Moses. Moses had it made down there in Egypt. I mean, boy, he had everything. He was in line to the throne of Egypt. But it said he chose to suffer with the children of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hey, he wanted God, he gave God all. You know what that word consecrate means? I might have told you this before. I think I talked about this in Sunday school. I don't know a whole lot, so I have to repeat it over and over again. Some of you don't have that problem. I told somebody that's got a small circle I stay within. But you know, a circle's like this. It's like you standing, and then you just draw a circle around you and God. It's just you and God in that circle. And everything that's not like God in that circle, you just kick out. And what Elijah saw that day was that plow didn't fit in anymore. He couldn't have God, and he couldn't have the plow. But look what he did. He left three things. First of all, he was willing to leave. He was willing to give up his family. He said, let me go kiss my mom and daddy. What he did? He went and kissed them goodbye. I know sometimes, hey, he said in the Gospels, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to be willing to forsake it all. You've got to be willing to forsake it all. And that day, Elijah, he decided he'd rather stay with the Lord than stay back there with famine. I'm glad that God don't always send somebody off to the other side of the world and cause people to put that distance or even ostracize people between their family. It's not saying turn your back on them and reject them, but it's got to be like Isaac. It's God has to be more important. God has to be more important. But he left that. But not only that, he left his fortune. That was his life. That plow, those oxen, was his livelihood. You know what he did? Hey, he pulled a Romans 12:1. He sacrificed everything before God that day. He sacrificed the oxen, and he used the plow for kindling to burn it with. He burned it all. He gave it all to the Lord. They had 12 yoke of oxen. That was possibly a wealthy family. He said, well, I think I'll just follow the Lord. You can have my oxen. You can have my plow. God, I want you more. Hey, you know when I got saved? When God brought me to the point that I wanted him more. You know when I started making progress with God as a child of God? When I decided I wanted him more. Tell you, what do you want God more than? Would it be just a dead, dry life you're living? Or would you rather have that? Would you rather have your defeat? Tell you what, brother, you can suck oxen dust all your life if you want to. But I believe I want what God wants for me. I wonder if Elisha could give a testimony tonight. He not only left his family, but left his friends. In verse 21, it says that he took those oxen. When he slew them, he gave to the people, and they did eat. Man, Elisha made a public testimony to everybody around him. I'm going with God. I'm leaving. Hey, I can't even go back to my oxen. They're gone. We've had some burnings around here. We burnt rock albums and people's little trophies. Man, old Elijah had an ox burning that day. Boy, you need to burn some bridges in your life. We need to do that sometimes and just go on for God. You know something? When he gave that public testimony to them, he said this too: I ain't entering the secret service. I'm going into the public service for my Lord Jesus Christ. We already got too many Christians in secret service. You bumped into many of them? I want to be a public testimony to my Lord. But lastly, he was committed. I think about this commitment that he made. I mean, Elisha, he left his oxen and he followed Elijah. He didn't become a prophet that day. He didn't replace Elijah that day. He just followed Elijah. I mean, I see two things about this. First, I see it's a commitment that took humility. He was just going to go minister to Elijah. He was just going to go minister to God's man. He wasn't going to get recognized. He wasn't going to be on the front of the next door to the Lord or whatever magazine may be read. His name wasn't going to be on the sign. His name wasn't going to be on any of the church literature. He's just going to fall and minister to the man of God. Elijah, what do you want? Well, I need some water. I need you to run this errand for me. I need you to take this staff there. How humiliate. Lord, I wanted something good from you. But I will tell you what, before you go with God, there's going to be an humbling process. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 10 years, if the dates are right in the margins of my Schofield Bible, from this to the time that Elijah was caught up into heaven, he just ministered to the man of God. Whatever you want me to do. I think about the humility, but I think of the total surrender in that. I mean, he just said, Lord, whatever it is, I'll scrub the man of God's toilets. I mean, man, I'll wash his camels and dig out their hoofs. Lord, I'll do whatever you want. I'll dig wells for the man of God. I'll empty the vessels at the door that he washes his feet in. I'll do anything. Amen. I'll do anything. But I just don't want to follow them oxen around anymore. But see, that commitment, it took humility, but you know something else? It resulted in honor. See, God always comes out best. You know, people always feel like when you go for the Lord, I'm just missing out on so much. But you know what? That day God unshackled him from those oxen. He liberated him from behind the plow. He liberated him from the dry, parched land. He led him as he followed a man of God all the way to the end of his life. Can I remind you of something? He said, and he told Samuel, 1 Samuel 2:30, them that honor me, I will honor. 2 Kings, he followed Elijah to the river. He crossed the river and went over and saw Elijah get taken away in the whirlwind. He was there with him. And he had that one request as he went up. Elijah said, ask me. And 2 Kings chapter 2, he said, what can I give you? He said, I want a double dose of what you got. And Elijah said, man, Elisha, that's a hard thing. But if you'll follow me all the way to the end, God will give it to you. Well, he didn't back down. He said, man, I done followed him for 10 years. I already waited on him for 10 years. I'm just going to go all the way. I'd rather do this than look at the back of them oxen any day. I'm just going to go right on and follow him. And he went to the river. What happened? He saw Elijah taken away, and God gave him what? Hey, everything that he'd done for the past 10 years, every day he might have looked back and said, maybe I should have stayed with oxen. That day God vindicated in his life what he had planned to do all along. See, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a plan for you. You can question why God may have done this or put you through this or that, but God has a plan that's going to bring honor and glory to his name and bring the best to you, the best life you'll ever live. Man, get out from behind them oxen. Get out from behind that plow. Man, follow the man of God. Follow the truth of God, and one day God, he'll put that honor. He'll put that honor. He'll give you the desire. I guess a better word for that, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you desires of your heart. Are you following the Lord, or are you following a plow led by two oxen tonight? Stand with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Our heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around but me. Maybe there's somebody here tonight say, Brother Tim, I don't know that I'm saved. Anybody like that and just slip up your hand, I'll do nothing but pray for you. I don't know that I'm saved. I won't point you, I won't call your name, I'll just recognize the hand. All right, that's good to know. Everybody here knows the Lord. I tell you, I know that there's parts that I struggle trying to make my point, but I believe God doesn't need my help. He can make his point with or without me. And how, if God spoke to your heart tonight, you just be sensitive to the Spirit of God. God's got something good for you. This Christian life, it's worth the living. This world is falling apart. This country's falling apart. And I tell you what, I want to be in my Lord's will. Always. Because I tell you what, it's the safest place in the world to be. Let's follow the Lord. Father, I pray you just take this invitation and you give it. I pray you just speak to the hearts. Take it and use it as you see fit. We'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name.